RuPaul's Drag Race is the most watched program featuring drag queens on TV. It's made the careers for its relatively unknown contestants. So why isn't every drag queen in the nation getting with the program?
Drag legend Hedda Lettuce was forged in the fires of AIDS activism and in the New York City cable access television scene of the early 90s. 15 years later, Hedda's still going strong, traveling the country with her hilarious stand-up act, and is a six-time winner of Drag Queen of the Year by HX Magazine. Her appearance on Project Runway made her look like a woman to be contended with.
She's obviously good for TV, and now she's bucking to be a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. But is this the right move for her?
American Idol star Adam Lambert says, "I'm gay, duh."
Is 30 Rock a ripoff of The Muppet Show?
Man trades pig for cocaine.
Gays for guns.
Prince Harry's sexy nickname.
And Feast of Fun makes the iTunes Top 100, kicking Rachel Maddow's tight booty. I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you. Today's show is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube wants to know, how are you healthy? Go to LifeLube.org and tell them about it.
Hello.
Hi, Hedda Lettuce.
Hello, darling. How are you?
It's Fausto Furnos.
And Mark Villian from the Feast of Fun.
Congratulations. You're our 1,001 guest.
1,001st.
How are you doing? I hear you're trying to get on RuPaul's Drag Race. Why?
Oh, darling, I'm trying to even get on a crosstown bus these days. Anything I could try to get on, I'll get on. Really, that's how the world is today.
You've had a career that was forged in the fires of AIDS activism and New York City cable access television.
Ooh, you
since
make it
the
sound so deep.
Early 90s. And for 15 years, you're still going strong, traveling the country with your stand-up act, and you're the six-time winner of Drag Queen of the Year by HX Magazine. Why the hell would you need to go on that show? You're going to eat them alive.
Darling, let me tell you. This is how I put it, because many fans come up to me and say, Hedda, why? Why? And I say to them, first of all, did Joan Rivers need to go on to The Apprentice?
Yeah, actually she did.
Well, that was for charity.
It was for charity. Well, so if you went on RuPaul's Drag Race, would you donate the proceeds to charity?
I'm giving the proceeds to charity, yes. Well, $1, 10 cents on every dollar that I may incur by being on that show will go to a drag queen in a third world country.
Which country?
In Malawi.
Baby Zahara already won.
We care, shoes. Madonna's trying to adopt. She doesn't care about the drag queens in Malawi.
Baby Zahara has already won the show, so I think she's doing okay. Speaking of drag queens.
See? My foundation's already working.
Well, what is it about the show that attracts you to want to be on it, besides the fact that your people are going up to you and saying, why aren't you on the show? Why aren't you on the show?
Well, first of all, it's television. And regardless, and there's not, let's be quite honest, how many venues are out there and programs are out there that deal with the drag community? Not many.
Well, you had a successful cable access TV show. Why don't you do that?
Well, I could always do that again, but this has a budget, for God's sake.
There's liquor money behind it.
There's that, yes.
There's some money behind it. I mean, really. So, that's a plus. And besides, I feel, sometimes you need other people's perspective on your life to sort of get to that next place you want to go. I'm sort of in this kind, not a rut per se, but I've been doing this certain thing for such a long time. It'd be nice to be thrown into a different mix and sort of get a different perspective. And also, I personally love those cheap gutter queens they have on that show that come with their own shanks and their bald spots and their wigs. I mean, those are old school West Side Highway queens, and we need to bring them back, and RuPaul is doing that one episode at a time.
And that's, you know what was sort of disappointing? It was only 9 episodes. I was looking on iTunes last night, yeah, and it was actually technically 8 episodes and then a rewind or a recap,
yeah,
episode.
It was very short.
And, but, and it sort of bothered me that RuPaul sort of like crowned herself the most interesting contestant on the show, even though she technically wasn't.
Well, you know, darling, it's her whole thing is about ego and supermodel and, you know, vacant but knowing.
But I love RuPaul, and I love the show. And there's another angle to it, is that it feels like it's one ring to rule them all kind of thing. That by getting, yeah, all these nations, like drag queens, to bow down and say, please, RuPaul, put me on your fabulous television show.
Are you saying that RuPaul's the Eye of Sauron in the drag world?
She might be the Eye of Sauron.
My feeling is, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, give her my firstborn or anything of the sort. I wouldn't offer up, you know, you know, some merkinsense, perhaps. I'm not sure, but I think that, well, she has claimed the title of, you know, like Janice Dickinson saying she was the original supermodel. Now, no one existed before her, and anyone who existed after didn't matter anyway. So RuPaul's sort of saying the same thing.
Well,
all the queens that existed before didn't matter, and now everyone who exists afterwards has to kiss their ass.
Well, what do you think are your chances are? Because you have a specific
kind. Very slim.
You're on the top 5 right now, though, on the website.
I started 8 days late. By the time I started to try to get on the show, those bitches had racked in like 6,000 votes each. Mm-hmm.
Well, all you have to do is you have to go there, and then you vote, and then you clear your cash, and then you vote again.
I don't want to cheat. If I have to cheat to get to the top,
honey, it's not cheating. You just hire people in like Indonesia to do it for you.
But, you know, Hedda, you also don't have real breasts, and that's a form of cheating, too.
I don't have real breasts. I know. I know that's cheating. But I don't pretend to be anything else but an average Joe who just likes to dress up and
a drag queen of the people.
And how did
I don't pretend to be a supermodel. I'm not a supermodel. I don't, you know, I would love to learn some of those moves. That's why I want to be on the show. I want to learn how to walk runway properly. You saw me on Project Runway. I skipped down the goddamn runway.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about, because you have a specific look. You're green. Yes. You're head of lettuce, for Christ's sake. You're a vegetable. It's people that have that kind of one look on the show, like Tammy Baker.
Tammy Brown.
Tammy Brown. She didn't
fare
too well.
Her look is retarded.
Yeah, she had a retarded Betty Davis look.
This was retarded, honey. It wasn't one look. It was just retarded. You know what the look was? You know when a manic woman forgets to take her medication?
Yes.
And they put too much rouge and makeup on? That's what she was.
But I think she did that intentionally. But I'm just saying, like, how far do you think you can take it? Because you're going to be up there, and they're going to be like, you know, Hedda, all I'm feeling is, like,
green
vegetable patch and green, and I really wanted, like, a woman.
If they wanted a woman, well, then I guess they're going to have to, if they want a woman, well, it's the wrong show if they want a woman.
But that's one of their criticism is that they
you're
say,
not too feminine.
You're not feminine enough. Or you have to
green
shtick going on.
I pray to God that one of my nuts doesn't fly out of my dress when I'm walking runway then. That happens occasionally. I have a blowout, you know. I think the whole thing, one of the things I think that's missing in the show, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, is a very important factor about the gig, a sense of humor.
Oh.
There was nothing in there that was, they don't have this lightness about it. It's all too serious. Now we have this perception that all drag queens want to tuck their dicks up their assholes and be women, which is so not the truth.
You know, they want a lot more.
You know, I wonder.
I am sitting there right now with my cock tucked delicately between my legs just to get in character for you, but I normally don't do this. You know, I think we're kind of losing perspective on it, and it sort of becomes like a show about mental illness more than drag.
And this is why you would make a great contestant.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about starting a reality TV show called No Psychiatric Evaluation at All.
Required.
No psychiatric evaluation. We just take you the way you are. No background check. We don't care if you're a criminal, if you come with a gun or a knife. We want you on this show. I wish to God one of those bitches shanked the other one. I would love to see some violence on that show. Make it sort of like Gladiator a little bit.
Well, I'm surprised that they don't have like RuPaul behind some plexiglass like at the check exchange. Mm-hmm. You know, because one of those drag queens just might go take her out or take out Santino.
How would they find her in all that fog?
She's like Gorillas in the Mist on that show.
What is this, like Bash RuPaul show? Come on.
No,
like,
we're just making fun of the show.
Okay, so you are right now in the top five, being the most voted.
Yeah.
There is a possibility that you and I might be contestants on the show together.
Not likely.
Who will survive? If we were in an ideal world, we would be in the show's next season. Yeah. If you and I were fighting to be America's next top drag queen supermodel.
Yes.
Superstar,
whatever.
Supermodel, she'll never give that.
Yeah, she'll never give you that title. No. Who would win between you and me?
Who would win?
Yeah, between you and me in a cage fight.
You and I in a cage fight.
Yeah. Did you see our Fist Rouge video? Forced feminization.
You haven't seen me in a cage, bitch. Honey, you won't even know what hit you.
Why would you be able to defeat Daphne Dumont or Saltina Bouvier or Victoria Lamar?
I would be tricky and sneaky. Just when you think you have me, I'd come up from behind and just sort of put you in a sort of, first of all, I would de-wig you. That always gets a queen first.
Yeah, but I actually have hair on my head.
You don't wear a wig.
Well, I do wear wigs, yeah. I mean,
but you also have hair, though.
But actually, I have hair, and when my wig comes off, for a lot of people, wigs actually make my hair look good. So after I'm done wearing a wig, it's like it kind of like flattens out my hair.
You have a little Mia Farrow thing going on.
It has a Mia Farrow thing happening.
The only thing I would do then, I would just light you on fire.
He's a fire-eating drag queen.
Drag queens are flammable. I would light you on fire in the beginning. Fuck everything. I would just take my can of Final Mist and a lighter, and poof, you're gone. That's how
I would just pour salt all over you, because everybody knows salt wilts all vegetables. And Hedda is...
Put some snails on her and we'll eat her.
I hope we never get to the point where we have to have a death match over this stupid title of twatty vagina. I'll change my name to that, twatty vagina, for the show. What do you think?
Hedda, did you get a VIP invitation to apply for the show?
I did.
You did?
Did you fill it out?
I did everything.
You did the video and everything?
I sent the video and a blood and semen sample.
You have semen?
A DNA?
Where'd you get
and
semen
a wig
from?
Sample. I had to send a wig sample, a blood sample, and a semen sample.
I think it'd be likely, you know, maybe it's almost like RuPaul's Drag Race is sort of like the 101, the introduction to drag class in college. Mm-hmm. And they need sort of like an intermediary or an advanced course.
Well, there's probably that queen from last season, Chanel, was a big starlet in Vegas, so she was already a successful entertainer in her own right.
But, you know, Hedda, what I'd like to pitch out here, because probably the show's producers are listening, some of them are actually fans of this podcast.
They're crossing off names as we speak.
but what I'd like to suggest to them, maybe, because I'm not a television producer, is that maybe hire Lady Bunny or some of the queens from Wigstock and do Wigstock the reality series. And have, because, you know, maybe RuPaul's Drag Race is one... What?
I think it stinks.
Because it would be sort of interesting to have sort of that sassy, colorful New York City sensibility, the humor, and actually pit someone like you up against Jackie Beat. I'd like to see the two of you fight it out.
Jackie Beat, I take Jackie Beat on great. Her hips are giving out. It won't be much of a challenge.
What are you going to do? Kick her legs out from under her?
But, you know,
well,
everybody
I'll
would.
Do whatever I can.
They would vote against you if you actually physically assaulted Jackie Beat. They would hold it against you.
Have I physically assaulted her, or I may get more votes before physically assaulting her?
Because she's pretty, like, razor sharp, you know? She comes up with those song parodies, and
well,
you have
darling,
those.
Darling, you would, too, if you had unfortunate, like, one of those razor bumps between your legs. You know, she's just very heavy. I worry for her health. I pray for her every night.
Okay. Well, you know, she's fighting against high fructose corn syrup, and I think that
is that another drag queen we don't know about? Who is she?
That's artificial sweeteners. That's her big thing.
I loved her. I want to meet high fructose corn syrup. Where can I meet her?
At ADM, supermarket to the world.
So what have you been doing since we last talked to you, besides, like, you begging? Oh, I want to know, did you vote for me today in RuPaul's Drag Race? Because you're asking everybody to vote for you. Are you voting for them?
I can only vote once every 24 hours.
But you voted for me?
No, you can only vote for one.
For everyone. Did I vote for you? I'm not going to lie to you. No, I did not vote for you today.
Well, then why would I want to vote for you?
I send out those emails. I don't, you know, whoever votes me. I don't really.
The thing is, Hannah, though, is that you can vote for other people too. It's not just one vote per. You know, it's one vote per person for every 24
You can
hours.
Celebrate and lift others, Hannah, without tearing.
Oh, so you can vote for a dozen different queens.
And vote for real losers, people that you can easily take
like
out,
me.
You know. Be like, you're not going to win.
I don't know. I'm sitting by the phone every day waiting for that call. Every day.
Well, isn't this just round one? Isn't there a round two even?
There's going to be round two and three, and a lot of people don't realize that that show's not actually technically going to go into production until probably late 2009, early 2010. So you might be putting your foot in your mouth right now, Hedda.
Doing what?
Well, because you might be picked to be on the show. Then RuPaul will pull you into her little absolute vodka office and say, well, Hedda Lettuce. And you're like, hi, RuPaul.
And I would calibrate, and what would she present as evidence? Or some sort of what would happen? You said,
well, this program is for one.
No, he's just teasing you. Listen, let's talk about you were on Project Runway, and you made that poor guy cry.
You know, I saw Suede again. The poor boys are drunk.
So when you went on Project Runway, and the episode was make a fabulous costume for a drag queen, mm-hmm. and Varla Jean Merman won,
mm-hmm.
and yours was, I think, the worst.
Do you look like Godzilla, you said to the poor guy?
I said Godzilla meets the Andrews sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you think that your outfit that he made for you, considering that it was green and sort of looked like something you could have worn.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it so bad?
Why was it so bad?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, the fabrication, the cut, the style, the look of it, the shoulder pads, the execution. Do I need to say more?
Was there anything you liked about it?
No, I despised the entire outfit.
Do you think he was drunk?
Do I think he was drunk when he was making it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he was drunk when he was making it, but I'm sure to know the fact that he's probably drunk now listening to this.
What? What makes you think he's a drunk?
I have my inside tip, please. The poor fella. He's trying. I hear they're trying to desperately. From what I've heard from other designers who are actually successful in the field who have not been on the show, being a winner or on that show is the kiss of death in the fashion industry.
So you think Christian Siriano's future is done?
I think he's more likely to do bareback porn than go on tour.
I'd like to see some bareback porn with Remy.
Mm.
Well, that would be Remy. Yeah, Remy, whatever.
Remy.
Yeah, I think so. I think what we have to think is this is what that show in particular is just really entertainment.
When you were talking with Suede and like talking about the design and stuff like that, did he refer to himself as Suede? Was he like, Suede thinks this? Or did
yes,
he just put
you know, the thing is, unless you really developed an empire, say like Valentino or say, you know, Karl Lagerfeld, and even those people who have been in this industry for a bazillion years and have oogles of money, and so they don't refer to themselves in the third person.
Mm. I think you have to be a little cuckoo for that.
You have to be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs to start going around all of a sudden. And, you know, that's why it's just, it's insanity. Mm-hmm. It's a mental illness as well.
Let's talk quickly about Misunderstood, your gal pal in New York City, because she was on the show, and she actually said that she liked her dress, and she defended those wings that guy put on there. What was your opinion of the wings?
She defended them?
Yeah, she thought they looked good. She thought they were cute. And it wasn't so bad that they fell.
I mean, I guess because it distracts her from her face, perhaps, I guess.
Oh. Honey's like, open up your heart. As Madonna would say, you're frozen.
Oh my God, I'm in the wormhole. No, who am I to say? I mean, I could only comment on my outfit. Misunderstood the outfit. She looked like one of those things you stick outside of a car dealership. To get attention.
So what are you working on now? It's like, if you don't get on RuPaul's Drag Race, what are you going to do with yourself? Slit your wrists and...
Well, I'm planning on crying for a good many days. Mourning, of course. First is the mourning. There's many different stages of grief, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then anger, then disbelief. You know, I'll go through the whole stage of it all.
I bet you could successfully launch a video blog that would get just as many views.
Probably. You know, I think the only thing about being in it, really, quite honestly, is it just gives you publicity in general. I mean, it's a good thing to be part of it, honestly.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those girls that are on the show is, I was just leafing through something and somebody,
in Boston.
You know, I would have never known anything about it before, and then now I see that's Nina Flowers DJing somewhere.
It gets your name out in the mix again, and it gets your name circulating, and gets people talking about you. Whether they're saying good things about you or bad things, it's good. Because if you're not talked about in showbiz, quite frankly, you're not in it. So
why don't you just rob a bank?
What, honey?
Why is that
publicity? Oh, because that's illegal.
I'm not that smart. I will get caught. That's the problem.
I'd like to see you though go into a bank in full drag though and be like,
you know, years ago I did an independent film with Misunderstood. We played drag bank robbers.
What was the title of the film?
It was called Red Lipstick and never made the light of day.
Well, I'd love to see outtakes on YouTube.
Oh, Debbie Harry was in it. Vicky Sue Robinson was in it. They got this cast of crazy people in this movie.
Now, did you see our forced feminization video? Did you get to take a look at that?
I was just finishing up while you the phone just rang. Yes, I saw your forced feminization video.
Now, give me the honest truth. Did we go too far?
I didn't think you were going far enough.
Oh, really? Do you think I should have, what should I have done? Like, killed Mark at the end?
No. I guess, no. I think you could have, you didn't have much time to feminize him, though. So you were doing feminize on a dime, you know?
That's true.
You were just sort of rushing through it. If you really gave yourself the time to really sit him down and feminize him, I think you could have gone even further with the look.
So, like, what would you have recommended that we do? Like, sort of teach him how to talk in a pretty, girlish way?
You know, the best part is at the end when you're all dancing.
Isn't it?
We seem to be having fun.
Well, we had fun.
Celebration of femininity.
Well, the thing is when you're on YouTube, it's like you really just have to hit it and run and just do it quickly.
It has to be totally mindless and fun. It's great. I like the video quite a bit. I think the idea of forced feminization is it should be done more often to real women around the world.
So next time you're in Chicago, I want you to do a video with us.
I would love to do a video with you. I don't know when the hell I'm going to come back to Chicago again.
Well, you were such a hit at the Lakeshore Theater.
I know, but you know what? I guess maybe I was a hit and a miss. I've never heard from those people ever again.
You sold out an entire theater, and you even insulted the drag queens, called one Felicity with a V.
And you're like, well,
darling,
that's fucked up.
I never heard back from them ever again.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, maybe let's work on getting you back into town.
I would love to, because I love Chicago. I would love to come back.
So, did you hear about American Idol runner-up Adam Lambert? He came out in Rolling Stone magazine today going, I'm gay, duh.
I think I would have been more shocked if he came out and said he had the heart of a conservative Republican. Like, his transplant or some sort like that.
That would have been a shock, yes.
Oh, my God, I had a heart transplant, and it was the heart of a conservative Republican.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. In the interview, he said he had a psychedelic experience at an annual festival held in a Nevada desert called Burning Man, and that experience on mushrooms convinced him psychically to try out for American Idol.
I think Paula Abdul had the same experience.
she still thinks she's a contestant.
Right. I think she still thinks she's at Burning Man.
Is any part of Head of Lettuce, the whole lettuce concept, is any of that drug-induced?
Is any of it drug-induced?
Yes, did the concept come up while you were high or something?
It would seem so, wouldn't it?
That's why I'm asking.
No, actually, the name came to me in a dream, strangely enough. I was trying to figure out a good drag name, and I went to bed that night, and the name popped in my head, and I told my fag hag friend at the time, I said, I think I have the name I'm going to use, Head of Lettuce. And she said, don't use that name. That name stinks. And I was like, well, I'm going to go with my gut, my instinct on this one.
And it worked out. Where is she now?
Where is she now? Yeah, she's not on the show. That's where she is.
She lives in France now.
She disappeared to France. The other thing that I thought was kind of funny from this interview that he did with Rolling Stone, he said, you know, about being gay, he goes, I'm trying to be a singer, not a civil rights leader. And I wrote on our blog, I said, yeah, that is until the only gig you can get is at an HRC gala or you're opening for Cyndi Lauper at a Pride Fest. Because that's where that career is going.
I think you hit the nail on the head, dear. I mean, why do you think that other fuckhead came out of the closet? Because no one wanted to book him for anything anymore.
So I Twittered it, and it got a huge response.
Really? On Facebook or on Twitter?
Facebook. Well, my Facebook and Twitter are synced to each other.
How many people commented?
Well, on Facebook, I have over 25 comments.
Really?
And on Facebook, on Twitter, I got about 12. Anyways, numbers it's the comments that matter here.
Oh, yeah.
So here, a lot of people are sort of concurring. One guy, Gary Ward, said, what's wrong with opening up for Cyndi Lauper at a Pride event? And I don't think that's the point that you were trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to say that opening at performing at any Pride event is a bad thing. It's like kind of like saying, what's wrong with him saying, hey, I want to be a great singer and inspire people to embrace diversity. And hopefully by me being honest and mm-hmm. proud of my sexuality, mm-hmm. I'll be able to do that through the success of my music.
Yeah.
What's wrong with saying I can do, I don't have to be like Martin Luther King marching at the Washington Mall.
I don't think he really thinks that much. Honey, he went to Burning Man and did some drugs and thought it would be a good idea. I don't think we're talking about, you know, there's a lot of depth here. So I really, you know, I don't think it's kind of a strange conversation to have about Adam Lambert. I mean, look at him, for Christ's sake.
I think he's cute. I'd be happy to have sex.
Well, he's wearing also more makeup than Hedda is.
Well, that's true.
He's wearing more makeup than you are, Hedda.
I agree, and not applying it is good either, though.
No, did you know that also?
He needs forced feminization. He needs some good forced feminization.
he needs a lot of things. He was actually bunked with Chris Allen.
The hot guy.
The hot guy. They were sharing a room in the Bel Air mansion where they host so he was I know, right?
He said there was no action, but I'm sure he was masturbating at night.
Oh, who doesn't that? Oh,
I would have hit on. I would have hit on Chris Allen.
Hell yeah!
I know that he did.
I do it right in front of his wife.
Oh my god, you're a kinky bitch!
It was sort of like that movie. What is it? The one with the guy from Twilight?
Patterson.
Patterson playing gay. He was Salvador Dali and Garcia Lorca.
I saw that movie as well. He's a terrible actor.
Yeah, but it was very hot to seeing him masturbate while his boyfriend was like having sex with a girl. Don't you think that was sort of like a descriptive of a lot of our relationships?
It's a great picture of the tortured homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's good to keep that stereotype going too.
Well, it's, you know, it's turn of the century. What was the 1920s?
People pity
or something.
You. I want to be pitied because people give you things and they pity you, like jewelry,
like a role at RuPaul's Drag Race.
Absolutely, pity got me this role.
You'd be the pity contestant.
I mean, how many of us enjoy a good pity fuck? I don't care anymore.
What did you think when Tammy Brown was like, sort of like gave up in that episode?
Honey, darling, I was, I finally, some sanity was finally, she had a sane moment.
Well, if you were up there and you had to lip sync for your life, would you just give up like that? Or would you be like, all right, I'm going to do this no matter what? Are you a fighter or a quitter?
I'm a fighter to the end. Yeah. I would have kept lip syncing for my life until they took a gun and shot me down.
You know, I would have been like, I would have pulled out a $20 bill and been like, RuPaul, will a 20 keep me in the next round?
Yeah.
I would bribe her right there on camera.
And some cube of zirconia, like a piece of some shiny jewelry, because drag queens like shiny things. They just stop whatever they're doing.
Like dogs and meat.
Yeah, so I would never have given up. I think Tammy is a quitter, and you know we don't like quitters, really. Mm-hmm.
Quitters. Loser's job is to lose. Mm-hmm. And that was her role in the show, and she played it perfectly. They had to kick somebody off.
That's true, but she could have performed.
Because who did you think was the person who least belonged there, besides Tammy Brown, obviously? But
again, who lasted longer than I expected?
Yeah,
RuPaul.
You're not going to get on the show with that attitude.
I'm all the place. They can't have a sense of, oh my God, the sense of humor. That's the problem. Where is the sense of humor? The form of self-deprecation. That's what comedians and drag comedians do best.
I know, but you got to kiss. RuPaul has lived a fragile life. When you grew up in the Brewster Projects, you sometimes don't have nothing but be able to walk the runway.
I grew up in Pigeon Pit, Tennessee. I know poor. Lime Mama, Shredder, Lynn Lettuce. We lived in not even a double wide. We lived in a half wide.
Is she proud of how far you've gotten in your career?
She's too drunk to notice me.
Are you really from Tennessee?
She really is. Yeah.
Pigeon Tit?
So did you hear about there's this guy blogging, his name is Brian Lynch, and he came up with a really interesting premise here that the popular television show 30 Rock is a ripoff of the Muppet Show. And so he's saying that the success of 30 Rock is actually built on the formula that was developed in the 70s with the Muppet Show. And so the premise is that a neurotic lead character has to manage a group of wacky misfits and put on a weekly sketch comedy show. Sound familiar? So
I read the piece.
Yeah.
I see his point. I think that There's nothing new on television, really. It's old, recycled ideas. And I give those people kudos from taking, you know, taking an idea that already existed and making it fresh again.
I agree so, too, you know, and I've always felt like when we did the live Feast of Fools mm-hmm. shows that I was very much informed and inspired by the formulas and ideas that were developed in the Muppet Show.
I'm not going to be able to watch 30 Rock again because I'm going to see Tina Fey and I'm going to think Kermit. And I'm going to see that Gene Krakowski. I'm going to be like, it's Miss Piggy, you know?
So and Alec Baldwin is Fozzie the Bear and Sam the Eagle all rolled into one.
That's great. I miss the Muppet Show.
I do. But you know, though, it doesn't set the problem.
Uh-huh.
What?
We have the Muppet Show yet again.
I think so, too. I just feel like sometimes, you know, they're not as cuddly. The problem is that you watch a lot of those mm-hmm. 70s comedy shows that made you laugh so hard as a kid, like the Carol Burnett Show or the Muppets. Mm-hmm. And you look at it as an adult and you're like, God, these were so corny.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
like, well, they were kinder, gentler times. We didn't have the YouTube and the Twitter.
So now we have to, like, poop overload into a cup.
We had rotary phones, for God's sakes. We couldn't even call for help without taking 20, 30 minutes. If you were having a heart attack and you had to call 911, you died.
I was watching Rosemary's Baby the other day, and it was like seeing her in the phone booth calling somebody with that rotary phone, and just everything, just the pacing of the movie was really kind of slow, and I'm like, you know, people had a lot of time on their hands back then.
I'll tell you then, this is what the good thing about it is. Mm-hmm. When you had to make a phone call to someone you hated, you had time to think about what you were going to say. Up that phone, you knew exactly what you were going to say with every turn of that rotary thing. You had a new, and by the time you perfected it, and when you got, you gave them hell. Nowadays, we send out these little Twitter things or this email, like, oh my God, I can't believe, oh God, shit. We regret, lots of regrets. Then, you didn't have as many regrets. You didn't have much damage to clean up.
Hedda, what are you doing this summer?
What am I doing this summer?
Yeah, what are you doing all summer? Are you performing?
I'm going to town to do my show called Eat Me. It's at the UU Theater in Provincetown. Mm-hmm. Hedda Lettuce, Eat Me. I thought it was an apropos title.
Absolutely, absolutely. Did you read Prince Harry, you know, the prince with the hot redhead from the UK? His mm-hmm. his nickname is called Jam. His girlfriend calls him Jam.
As a child.
Why do you think she calls him Jam?
Because I'm sure he shoots a white hot prince-like load all over her tasty skin.
He's the sexy prince now. Because I think
he's
probably
the sexy racist, barebacking, load in the face, swallow my load, I hate black people in twos kind of man that's really good at giving it to you.
Well, the thing that's kind of gross about him, though, is though I think and there was a news report a couple weeks ago that says he hasn't washed his hair in 2 years.
What?
That's
I don't
what he
believe
said.
It.
He doesn't use shampoo or something. I don't believe it either. That sounds really nasty.
The one time I hooked up with this like homeless street kid who was a radical fairy, his name was Frog. Mm-hmm. Frog, wherever you are, baby, give me a call, Facebook me. And he was really, he had one of those bull piercings in his nose.
Oh.
But he was really hot and he was really dirty. And one of the sexiest things we did together is I gave him a bath. It was really.
Did you louse him too?
What?
Did you delice him and pick the nits out of his hair?
I did. He didn't have any louses, but he was really attractive, you know. And sometimes, like the best turn on is to just take a dirty but sexy man and give him a hot bath.
Wow,
isn't it?
Go pick up a homeless man.
Go pick up a homeless guy.
Well, see, the thing is, in New York City, where you live, is that the homeless people are in it sexy, you know, and like in Miami Beach, the homeless people are sexy. In Austin, Texas,
the homeless people
sexy.
Here in New York City, they're not sexy. They're very gritty.
Gritty. But the reason why she calls him Jam is because of his jam colored hair and because he's sweet. Is what she said.
Oh, please.
His sperm is sweet. You have to read this up. Read between the lines.
Mm-hmm. He's got a jam, pearl jam.
Now, I have to tell you something. If my buzzer goes off in my apartment, I'm going to be completely honest with you, too. I have a fuck buddy coming over.
Really? Can we get him on the show?
Is he going to come on, like, right now?
No, he may buzz. No, he can't. He doesn't know any. No, he doesn't know anything. So if he buzzes, I have to send him away till we're done with this.
Does he know that you're Hedda Lettuce?
He has no clue right now. We're just a new start of a new relationship.
Really? How'd you guys meet?
How did we meet? How did we meet? Via satellite.
We met on the internet, like most gay people do.
Craigslist?
No. I'm somewhere in one of those nameless, faceless, where you just show your butthole kind
of
site.
Manhunt.
No, not Manhunt. I don't go on that site. That site's
Ranch
evil.
Boy,
that
where
evil.
Ranch beauty boy. Meets finance.
Oh, my God. He's buzzing at the door. How am I going to get rid of him now? I have to get rid of him.
Just pretend, like, why don't you just do the rest of this show as a man?
You do the rest as a man.
What's your male name?
Tell him I'm not done with my phone interview and that he has to wait patiently in my room.
Okay.
Well, why don't you just go up to him and say, this really is
just
happening.
Just get him to come through the door and just be like, listen, I'm doing a phone interview. They
hey,
want
buddy,
you to,
this
they want
is
you to masturbate.
Watch this. Okay, hold on.
Put him on the phone. I want to talk to him.
I'm not putting him on the phone.
Come on.
Nope. It ain't happening in this lifetime.
Does he know you're a drag queen?
Does he?
Come back in 10 minutes.
Does he know
you're on the show? Does your date know
you're a drag queen?
I have to just tell him quite.
Hi, this is Steven. I'm doing an interview right now.
I'm just going to tell him to come back in 10 minutes.
Steve?
Well, has he seen you yet, though?
As what?
Because when you tell him to come back in 10 minutes, he might not come back.
Because a lot of people, well, should I out you as Steven Polito?
Hold on, he's coming up in the elevator. Let me deal with this, fella.
Okay. That's Head of Lettuce's right. real name.
Isn't this funny? Well, let's talk about some news while she's there. Because she won't be interested in the Star Trek news either. But some researchers are saying that warp drive might be possible, like Star
they
Trek.
They always say that every time a Star Trek movie or TV show or some product comes out, they're always like going, well, you know, it's not impossible if you can imagine it.
Well, so what they want to do is they're thinking that warp drive could be achieved by reducing the cosmological constant or the space-time dimension.
Of course it could.
In front of the aircraft,
yes.
But then not behind, and so it kind of like push what's you
the,
forward.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
We're talking about
space-time continuum.
while you deal with your trade.
No, it's done. He's inside. I'm going to finish out.
Just handcuff him to the bed so he doesn't leave.
Did you tell him to get naked? Just be like, go inside and get naked?
No, I'm not.
I want to hear you talking
Hedda,
to him as a man.
Hedda, I want to know what do you plan on doing with this gentleman?
Oh, we play cards.
Yeah, what kind of cards do you play? Canasta?
Can we talk about time-space continuum, please?
Strip poker!
My personal life. You know,
Hedda takes the wig off and goes down on the guy and sucks him off. You know, there's some drag queens that I know that actually... Heclina. Heclina, sorry, I have something in my throat. And that actually meet up with guys from the internet and have sex with them in their character
they
costumes.
Don't have sex. She puts on a wig and makeup and she blows
that's
them.
That's called mental illness. That's treatable with medication and some therapy.
But see, I always felt like, you know, if it makes a guy happy and if you can hook up with some guy that you normally couldn't as a guy, what's the big deal?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. My closed-minded thinking, I really have to think outside of the box.
Think out inside the box, maybe, if you know what I'm talking.
I have to think about something. I don't know what it is. I have no clue. I've lost all of my head, my AD. I'm just spinning now. I'm spinning, trying to manage two lives on one show. It's almost impossible.
I can't believe you.
You just hook up. Well, it's because she's horny.
Okay.
That's and, you nice. Know, it's okay. In fact, I'm masturbating right now. I'm a multitasker. There was a study that came out this week that multitasking actually might be bad for you.
What do you mean?
That they're starting to see they're studying the human brain as people use computers, and they're seeing like disturbing brain patterns where people who check their email while they're writing, while they're watching a YouTube movie, while they're trying to do something else,
make
and they said
crazy.
That it's good. It'll actually make you long-term brain damage.
Really?
That it's good to when you're working in front of the computer just to do one thing at a time.
You're just
that
trying to
explain the headaches I've been having.
You're just trying to get to me not to watch TV while I work on the computer. Is what it is, isn't it?
Well, you know, I don't want to be mopping up your puke and changing your diapers when you're 60.
Are you kidding? When I'm 60, I'm gonna walk off a bridge.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, if I get dementia, I don't want to be crazy and like be shitting my pants and stuff like that.
You'll be working at the drag queen retirement home changing Hedda Lettuce's diapers.
Yikes.
Darling, you can do that right now.
Hedda, when you die, do you want to be buried in drag?
Do I want to be buried in drag? You know what? I've thought about this. I want a closed casket, except for the lower half of my body. I wanted open casket with just the feet, because you can't do anything wrong with the feet. In fact, they can break them and make them smaller and put them in a really fierce pair of Jimmy Choo shoes, and people will come up and go, oh my God, we didn't realize she had such small lady-like feet.
That's so crazy. Well, there's a Doctor Who fan. Do you know who Doctor Who is? That British television show about the Time Lord. And this guy, I guess he's been in love with Doctor Who his whole life. Well, it turns out he actually looked like the last Doctor Who, David Tennant. And so he used to dress like him and stuff like that. Well, the poor guy fell at a friend's house and died. And so when they buried him, his parents didn't want like a somber funeral. They wanted, something very nice. So they buried him in a TARDIS. And when it was time to like put him in the ground, like a little blue light that signaled that he was leaving.
Oh, that's so sweet.
On. Isn't it sweet?
That's very touching.
I know.
It's very fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to know about the Gays for Guns movement. So these are pro-gun gay groups that are trying to lobby Washington to allow us all to suck cock and have guns.
Concealed weapons.
Concealed weapons.
Well, you know, there's...
What do I feel about them?
Well, let me explain a little bit more about it. So, you know, there's log cabin Republicans. Well, they have a splinter group now. They've left them. It's called Go Proud. And so, you know, there's this hate crime legislation going through. And so they're trying to tack an amendment on so that people can carry concealed weapons from state to state, because they're figuring, you know, if you're a victim of violent crimes and stuff like that, you should have a gun to be able to defend yourself. And so they're hoping they like arm all the gays. But I don't think they realize that the gay army is, you know, nice uniforms and wonderful parades. If I can dust off that old chestnut.
No, it's a great parade, no wars.
I don't need a gun. I can kill a man with a hat pin. This old lesbian once told me how to kill a man with a hat pin.
How do you do it?
Well, honey, this is what you do. First of all, hat pins are wonderful. You can put them on anything. You put them on a jacket, put them in a hat, or put them, you know, they're very easy to wear. Secondly, when a perpetrator is coming towards you, take that hat pin, and you can stab them directly in the eyes or right in the throat. And then all you have to do is throw the hat pin into the gutter really easily and run. Piece of cake.
You're like a drag queen MacGyver.
I can do many things. It's true. It works like a charm.
And she can defuse that bomb, the sex bomb that's in her bedroom. I love it that you're like, you're taking the time to talk to us, and when there's hot dick, hot, hard, uncaught Puerto Rican dick waiting for you in your bedroom.
How do you know it's...
Darling, I'm just a good guesser.
I fancy myself the Joan Crawford of the drag community. My fans come first. Everything...
in second. So here's a funny news article. I'll finish up with this. Is that a man was offered a slaughtered pig as part of like a payment for crack cocaine, and the police busted them. So they confiscated the pig, you know, this dead pig, and whilst they had confiscated it, somebody, and they were arresting the other people, somebody came along and stole the pig.
And the cocaine?
No, they still have the cocaine, but they stole the pig. And the reason why these people wanted to buy the cocaine was for a celebration, because their friend was getting out of jail. So that must have been a horrible party.
That story has so many levels to it. I can't even begin to actually know where to start with that story. I mean, we've all done some strange things in order to cop some drugs. Let's be honest. We've all done some strange things. I mean, human trafficking, you know, stuff of that nature. But I never heard of anyone selling a dead pig for drugs. They must be very desperate in that part of the country.
For some reason, I don't know, this news item seems very appropriate to you, Hedda.
Because she's going to have some pig sex now.
Hot pig man sex.
I think I'm going to. Now, you know what? I think you've got my juices flowing. You really have now. Really, I'm ready and raring to go. You know, you are the best. I have to say, you guys are the best aphrodisiacs. I should call you every time before I'm about to have sex. I should call you, and you should get me started, so when I go in there, I perform to the best of my abilities.
Okay, what are you going to do sexually with him? Do you start off, like, making out, or do you go straight for the dick? Are you, like,
darling,
a nipple person?
Those sort of things.
What?
Is this a dominatrix session? Is that what's going to happen?
I don't talk about those sort of things.
You're a lady, and ladies don't talk about those things.
Well, Hedda,
we want to thank you so much. Hey, you got to congratulate us. We are in the top 100 of the iTunes Music Store audio podcast. Take that, Rachel Maddow.
Of all podcasts?
Congratulations.
Of all podcasts.
You are wonderful. You guys are a miracle.
We're beating Lesbo Carpet Muncher Rachel Maddow today.
We love Rachel, but Take that.
Take that, bitch.
Take that, MSNBC.
MSNBC.
Take that, Air America.
And if I had a dead, if I had a dead pig to bring over to you to celebrate, I would.
Okay. Well, when you come to New York, let's try and get you back here.
You mean
here.
Chicago.
Oh, I'm sorry. When you come back to Chicago,
we'll work on it, guys.
Have a pig roast.
We'll have a blast.
We'll have a pig roast.
I'll cook. Mark and I will cook some lechon for you. Puerto Rican style roasted pig. Just for you.
I'm there.
And then we'll have our way with you.
Alrighty. I look forward to it. Thanks.
Bye, sweetie. Have fun in the bedroom. Use a condom.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Heather Lettuce lives in New York City. She wants to get on RuPaul's Drag Race, but so do we.
Yeah, and
everybody
she wants
does.
To have some hot, hot sex.
And she's having hot sex right now
I
with
can't
somebody.
Believe it. Do you think it really was a hot sex thing, or do you think it was like her accountant came over and she's just like, I've got to make it sound sexy?
It could have been, you know, but my accountants have a problem. I go through accountants because mm-hmm. they've all fallen in love with me.
They have.
And then since I don't put out because their accountants are not sexy. Well, not all of them. Not all of them, but the ones that I hire, I purposely hire accountants because they're not sexy, because they're good at numbers. I don't account them because I want to sleep with them.
There you go.
And then, of course, we work together very closely, and then his hand puts it on top of my hand. And I'm just like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
I want to remind people, too, that today's episode was sponsored in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net. Tell us how you are healthy at LifeLube.org. Hit the sweet spot.
How are you healthy, Mark?
How am I healthy? Yeah. I try and watch what I eat and I exercise.
And tell the people your tips on cocaine versus crack.
Oh, shit. I just wrote that as a joke to Jim. That's between Jim
and
I. Oh,
that's hysterical. tell the listeners.
Well, because, you know, there's so much when we talk about gay men's health, you have to talk about, like, crystal meth because it was so prevalent in the community. And I think some people still do it. So I wrote a little essay on how to tell the difference between cocaine and crystal meth. And the difference is like cocaine will numb your gums, whereas crystal meth won't. It'll get you high, but it won't numb your gums. So if it doesn't numb your gums, then it's crystal meth and not cocaine.
Because kids, crack is whack.
Yes.
Stay off the drugs. The only crack you want to get on is butt crack.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But so we want to thank you so much for listening. I want to read some of the comments from our website. Oh, this one's from Kilo Hotel. Fausto, Mark, a very happy 1,000th show. I've been listening every day for over 900, I think, and gone through all the highs and lows with you of your life.
Aww.
You feel like very much a part of my family. And just the other day, I met a lady from Puerto Rico Ooh. On the train and found myself saying, oh, I have a friend that comes from Puerto Rico, too. Only you know what, Kilo? You and I have never met each other. Looking forward to listening to the show or your 1,000th show in bed tonight with a couple of Sulpidine.
Oh, this is my connection. I'm ready for some more, by the way, so if you get a chance.
Hatnam says, fantastic show. I enjoyed the music pauses you put in, like the good old days. We actually never have done music pauses.
Not really so much.
No, we actually...
We used to do music.
Well,
like
we do from time to time, we do music showcases mm-hmm. at shows where we play 5 or 6 songs and we talk about them, but most of our shows are either news or interview oriented. But he says, old show spots make me want to listen to recent episodes again and check on some unknown old episodes. I'll give the listeners a secret.
What?
You can go to feastoffools.net/onepodcast and you can access pretty much all the shows for free. That's
really?
A way to hack into the website.
feastoffools.net/onepodcast. The letter one or the number one?
Let me see. feastoffools.net/onepodcast files. So if you go to, feastoffools.net/onepodcast files, it'll go to pretty much
and the number
everything.
One, right?
And well, one, the number one podcast files.
Okay.
Hey, look, I'm not going to make it easy for people.
Try it.
And then Cliff Dix wrote, yay, congratulations, Mark and Fausto on the 1,000th show. Loves today's program with a history of the early beginnings of Feast of Fools / Feast of Fun. I found you guys on iTunes 3 years ago and have been a loyal listener ever since. You've opened up a whole world to me that I never could have experienced without you. Mm-hmm. You've introduced me to fascinating people, activists, drag queens, musicians, authors, and poets that now I can't live without. Thank you. Hoping for many more shows to come. Isn't that nice?
That is so sweet.
And then Corey, from, I think he's from England, he wrote, so are we sitting on 1,000 cakes to celebrate? Congratulations, guys.
Ooh, I wish we had 1,000 cakes.
No one's made, even Ed, the video, shirtless video blogger, who's sexy, goat herder Ed, he hasn't made us a cake sitting video, even though he said he did.
Why are people so afraid to sit on cakes? You know what I think I forgot to bring up, and I mean, I don't want to brag or anything like that. I'm just trying to nail this down and see, because it was, you know, we did 1,000 podcasts, and I was looking around, and I'm trying to find out, has anybody else done 1,000 podcasts?
They have not.
And I was looking, and I have not found anybody. You know, even like the pod father, Adam Curry, who, you know, started the podcast revolution, is like 820 shows, and there's other people that are like in the 800s and 900s. Some people are approaching 1,000 soon, Keith and the girl, but like other than that, nobody.
So my Guinness Book of World Records title? Well, I want, well, let's shake ourselves. Yay.
Woo.
I want.
That's a milestone.
I know there are some listeners up in the UK that, that are connected with Guinness Book of World Records. Mm-hmm. I want to get a little mention in the next book.
Yes, I'm sure.
Feast of Fun.
First podcast
to reach 1,000. The most, or how about this, in for a title, podcast with the most episodes, continuous sequenced episodes. Why not? You know, so there's got to be I really want to be, and then I want my picture next to the guy who stuffed like a million hot dogs in his mouth. You don't even have to have my picture.
How about with my dick in your mouth?
I don't think they're going to put that in the Guinness Book of World Records. But I would always love.
They should have a sexy edition.
Yes, the gay edition. The man who sucked the world's most dicks all at once.
That's awful.
Well, you could have that hot Japanese competitive eater who won the title for eating the most pizzas and the most hot dogs. Ooh, would you like to have a date with him? He'd be expensive to feed.
I don't think.
Where does he
like
put it away?
I think he binges sometimes. And
you think he's a binge eater? So what are we going to leave musically with people here?
Do we have any food-like items? Do we have anything that has to do with lettuce?
Well, we have soup du jour
or green?
From Astronauts of Antiquity.
Is there anything green? Do a little search for green.
Okay, let me look here.
And we'll see if we have anything greenish for
her. It's not easy. We have Green Card by Ben Lerman.
No.
Or Congress of Starling Green.
Let's do that. I don't know what it is.
Let's hear this.
Green, because how does green?
It's not easy being green.
Perfect.
That's it. So,
this is Congress of Starling.
Congress of Starlings. Their green. Song Green from their album Albedo is available through our website, feastoffun.com. The site that is so fabulous, it has two names, feastoffools.net, feastoffun.com. It points to the same place. I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
See the similarity. salt. I want to make it clear. I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it be. I'm going to let it snow. Why is sincerity mixed with fear in me? I lack the clarity to see it properly. Consumed by jealousy. All right, you figured me out. Humanity, it isn't pretty. It's just so typical. It's so competitive. It's so repetitive. My head is pounding it. So political and so self-critical. It's fucking pitiful that I can't let you go.